If you'd open your Bibles to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 3. We talked about three things that we could do to build this morning in 2020. Let us, build through evangelism, and let us do these different things through edification and exhortation. Tonight we're going to talk about let Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us that we are co-laborers together with God. I mean, that God would let you and I come alongside him for the purpose of reaching lost souls for Christ is an amazing thought. You realize that God doesn't allow angels to do that. He doesn't allow an angel to go and tell somebody the gospel of Christ. He wants us to. As a matter of fact, when you think about it, you think of Cornelius, who was spoken to by an angel. An angel came and said, Cornelius, your alms have come up before God. And the angel could have said, let me tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. But he didn't. The angel said, let me tell you about a guy named Simon Peter, and he will tell you what you need to know. God doesn't use the angels. They got other jobs they're responsible for. He uses us to get the gospel out. But we're going to look at three things here this evening on let Jesus, what you and I can let Jesus do for us in 2020. In Joshua chapter 3, we'll cut into the chapter at verse number 3. They're getting ready for preparation for crossing over Jordan. Moses is off the scene. There's a new leader by the name of Joshua. And let's go in verse number 2. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and I like how he says your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove your place from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits, which should be about 3,000 feet by measure. He says, come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. What a good leader. And Joshua said, hereby shall ye know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. And if there are any parasites, he'll get them out of the way too, all right? Behold, in verse 11, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you unto Jordan. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that came down from above, and they shall stand up in a heap. This is an interesting time in Israel's history. They have wandered for 40 long years of their own accord. Oh, I got to turn my mic on. Okay. I'm getting a sign back there, a sign from God. It said, turn your mic on. And they had been wandering 40 long years, by the way, unnecessarily. It was because of their own choosing. Sometimes we get ourselves in places that we ought not to be, that we don't have to be. And you say, well, why did God keep them there for 40 years? He knew that would take that long for them to learn their lesson. Sometimes I think, why is God allowing this to continue on for so long? Until we know that we won't go back and do it again, he's going to keep us there. And so I see here that he's getting ready. Moses has passed off the scene. Joshua is leading them. They're making the preparation. And I want you to notice three things with me this evening about what we can let Jesus do for us in 2020. First off, let Jesus guide you with his presence. Now, that should be a given for the people of God. But evidently, whether it be Old Testament or New Testament, not everybody lets God guide them. Israel did not let God guide them. They have an opportunity now to do that, and they are going to seize that opportunity. There may have been areas in my life and your life where God was trying to guide us into something, and we just didn't do it. We didn't go. And there are times when we did. The purpose of this whole story that we're seeing here tonight in Joshua here is for an example. What we're reading here in Joshua that God has shared for us, the visualizing the picture was given to us for an example. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, now all these things, he's going to refer back to the Old Testament, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition. The word admonition means to call us to attention, to pay attention to what God's doing with them based upon the good decisions or the bad decisions that they make. And, you know, it's always been said it's always good to learn from other people's mistakes, correct? And I'll tell you what, that's exactly what God wants us to do. Don't do what they did if it was against me. If they do what I told them to do, then you follow that example. So there's good examples, there's bad examples. And so the purpose of this whole story here in Joshua was for an example for you and I, even tonight. It came all the way down. God hasn't said, you know what, I don't think we need Joshua chapter 3 anymore. These guys got it all together. They know what's going to happen. No, we don't. We still need it today in 2020. No matter how advanced we are in technology, God says you still need Joshua 3. You need to learn from them, because our natural man, our tendencies, hasn't changed at all. We might be living in nicer clothes and housing with AC and heat when we need it, but the natural man hasn't changed at all. We have that same tendency. So that whole purpose of this story is to allow this to be an example. Now, God's will for you and I is not a roadmap. It's a relationship. Let me give you an illustration, a personal one, that brought us here. This wasn't a roadmap that brought us from Fair Park to Regency. It was a relationship that brought us here. It was a relationship that we are following our Lord, and when he says, follow me, we have to follow him. It's not because he says, hey, I want you to go do this, 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 and this. He just wanted us to come with him. He's here. Amen? I pray that he's here, and because I don't want to go anywhere that he hasn't led me. And so we see that it's a relationship. And there's a couple of things here. When we talk about letting Jesus guide you with his presence, that means you have to be walking with him. Amos chapter 2, verse 2 says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? Have you always walked as a husband and wife together? Probably not. There's probably been some times where there's a little bit of change in the house and the undercurrents there, you know. It wasn't because of the relationship, it was because of the fellowship. And you and I need to be walking with God, and God's establishing with Israel, it's time for you to follow me. The Ark of the Covenant, which had the cherubims on the top, had several things on the inside. Inside, if you were to take the mercy seat off and look inside the Ark of the Covenant, you would find several things. You would find the Ten Commandments, the law. God would pull them out and say, here's the law that's in the Ark of the Covenant. I put that in there to remind you that you have broken my laws. And he places it in there. And then there's another thing in there. There's the manna, the pot of manna. And he takes the pot of manna and he places it in there, reminding them that they complained and murmured about his provision. All of us have broken God's laws. All of us complained about what God's doing in our lives at some time. Why am I going through this slab leak? Why am I going through this here? Why am I, you know, you see what I'm saying? We have these times to question God. And then the last one was the rod. Do you remember the rod that budded, Aaron's rod? Because they were questioning the authority of God. Three things were in there. The questioning of God's authority over their lives, the breaking of God's law, and the murmuring at God's provision. And thank God, that's there to remind us that we're guilty of all those. But thank God he took the mercy seat and covers it with mercy. Amen.
And this is the one, this ark now represents Jesus Christ. And as they bear this ark and begin to walk, the people are watching and they're following the presence of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. It represented Christ in its fullness. And he wants to guide each one of us every step of the way. Folks, notice what it says here in verse number 4. He says, we have to keep a distance, and he tells them why. That ye may know the way by which ye, look at the word, must go. Why? For ye have never passed this way heretofore. There's not a single one of us here who's gone through 2020 and has come back and says, I can tell you what's going to happen this year. It's probably a good thing we don't know what's going to happen this year. And God wants us to not walk. He wants us to keep our distance so we can see the direction he's leading us, but he wants us to trust him as he leads us. We're about ready to cross a Jordan River that's overflowing its banks. And he wants Israel to guide them. He wants to guide Israel with his presence. Now, when we talk about letting Jesus guide you with his presence, we don't have to know when he's going to ask us to leave. You remember back in the Old Testament what they would do, all of a sudden God would just say, it's time to arise, and they'd have to pack up their tents and they would begin to follow the ark. When the ark stopped, then they stopped. When it picked up and went, then they went. They always were on cue when and where they were to go. And we don't have to know when. Joshua talks about here clearly in verse number 3, the Levites will bear the ark. You shall not remove from your place until it goes. So God will be very clear for you in 2020, letting you know when to pick up and when to stay, what to do, when to do it. But we don't always have to know exactly when. We just have to always be ready. The Lord wants us to be ready always to go when he says go. We don't even have to know where. You know, in 2019, I didn't know that I'd be here in 2020. I didn't know that. But I was trusting God's guidance with his presence, that he would be the one. And he said, he told me when, and he told me where. And this is where it led. And it's going to be interesting to see where he leads us in this year. We may be surprised at what he is going to do. He wants to show himself mighty. He wants us to sanctify ourselves and get ready for what he's about to do. Wonderful works, he calls them here. The Bible tells us about a great man of faith, the father of faith, Abraham. And in Hebrews 11:8, it says that Abraham went out, not knowing. That's what it says in Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he went. Now, it didn't say not trusting. He didn't know where he was going, but he was trusting the one that was taking him there. And that's what we all have to do. We all have to trust. We have to, Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. That word trust means to lean upon. I think we have a great opportunity to do exactly what the Apostle John did. Remember when they were all eating the supper? Where was John? Leaning on Jesus' breast. That's how close you and I can get to him. He will allow us to lean on him, to trust him. So you don't have to know when he's going to guide you. You don't even have to know where he's going to guide you. Can you imagine Abraham coming home after God told him, you're leaving? Sarah, where are you at? Sarah, I'm in here. Come in here. Walk in. Hey, we're moving. Okay. When? I don't know. Well, where are we going? I don't know. Well, how are we going to know when we get there? I don't know. God calls men to lean on Jesus and to trust him, and he calls wives to lean that your husbands are godly men following the Lord, because she's left out of it just like he was. And he has to be certain that this is the will of God. When I told my wife, I think God is leading us somewhere else. She has to trust that I'm walking with God, folks. What if I'm out of the will of God? I take her right with me. That's not a good thing. And God doesn't want any of us to go out of the way. That's why he says, you need to watch where I'm going, because you've never been this way before. And I've never been in 2020. I've never even been over here in the church in Arlington. So I have to trust God that He will lead us when, He will tell us where, and then the why is up to Him. The first thing we need to do is we must let Jesus guide you with His presence. And that reminds me of His omnipresence. He is the all-seeing God. And we have that guarantee coming from a God that if you'll honor me and keep my commandments, I will lead you in the ways of righteousness. My word is a lamp unto your feet. It is a light unto your path. I will always, never leave thee nor forsake thee. He wants to guide us with His presence. The second thing He wants to do is let Jesus gladden you with His promises. In chapter 3, in verse number 7, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." Joshua was in a brand new position, and he needed to cling to the promises of God. He couldn't just trust what God did for Moses. He had to believe that God would do that for him because God had called him there. Now, when you and I allow Jesus to gladden us with His promises, there's several things that can happen here. First off, you need to understand that the promises of God, and I like this, are for all saints. Amen? Amen. Now, if you're not a saint tonight, it's not for you. And you don't become a saint because the Pope tells you you are, okay? When a person repents of their sins and by faith trusts Christ as their Savior, they are born again, they are adopted into the family of God, and they are a saint, a separated one. They've been set aside by God for God. Years ago when I was working in a chemical factory, there was a girl that I was working next to, and she had a Catholic upbringing, and I would witness to her quite often. And she goes, "Well, I'm taking tomorrow off." I said, "You are? Birthday? No. Anniversary? No. It's not a holiday? No." "Well, it is kind of for us." I said, "What do you mean? What is it?" She goes, "It's All Saints Day." I said, "You're taking off All Saints Day?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "I got a question for you. Is a saint a person that's dead or alive?" She goes, "Why do you always ask me these hard questions?" I said, "It's just a simple question." So I always carried a New Testament on me, so I pulled it out and I started looking when Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus and to the saints. And when he wrote to the different churches, he would always call them so-and-so to the saints and to the faithful. I said, was this church a bunch of dead people in that church, or were they alive? She goes, "They were alive." I said, "Yeah, saints are people that are alive." So there was a guy that was listening to our conversations for the rest of the day. He'd always walk by me, "Hey, Saint Kevin, come here, I want to talk to you." And it's true, though. In God's eyes, you're a saint. Now, let Jesus gladden you with His promises, and His promises of God are for all saints. So God's promises are just as much for you in the pew as they are for any preacher in the pulpit. The promises that God gave to Joshua, He offers the same promises to us today, that He would never lead us, He will never forsake us, He will guide us, and He will direct us into all truth, all understanding. So the promises of God are for all saints, but they are also for all situations, because a variety of situations come up in life. I bet you we could find out this evening, if we took time, that there's a variety of people with a variety of situations going on. And you can go to the promises of God, you'll find a promise that will be in God's catalog, if you would, file. You can pull, "Oh, that's the promise for that one there." So these promises are great, and these promises should make us glad. We should rejoice and be glad therein. The promises of God, folks, you're trusting on going to heaven because of a promise of God. He that hath the Son has what? He that hath the Son has what? Life eternal. That's a promise from God. Whenever I do a funeral, usually you have a lot of people that are lost, and I'll always use the illustration. I said, let's just say that this Bible represents Jesus Christ. And we'll say that this piece of paper right here, this 1 year through the Bible schedule, we're going to say that this represents eternal life. God, the Father, took eternal life, placed it in His Son, Jesus Christ, and He offers His Son as a free gift. All you got to do is take it. And if you receive Jesus Christ by faith, if you take the gift of God, you also receive, guess what? Eternal life. If you say, it's not for me, I don't believe that, and you reject the Son of God, you also reject eternal life. And God is such a good God that He says, not only am I going to give you that, but I'm going to give you all kinds of promises that will just gladden your heart when you look around at this world and see the turmoil that's taking place and the darkness is kind of settling in. Thank God that the Holy Spirit's still here, because when the rapture takes place and He takes that Spirit out, you're going to see wickedness come in like never before. And we'll be gone because we have a promise that Jesus says, I'm coming again and I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What a day that will be. Amen. We're going to be in the clouds one day. We're going to be in the clouds one day. My wife went on a trip here a while back with actually Brian's mom. She drove up to Ohio. They got on a thing and they took a train tour through all the New England states. And she realized that she was going to be really close to where we used to live, where we had some very dear friends that we pastored a church up in New Hampshire there. And she found out that Althea was going to be there, and Althea says, I'll only be there probably long enough to talk with you for about 3 to 5 minutes. And it's almost an hour and a half drive for them. They drove an hour and a half just to see her so they could hug her. I would do that too, probably, all right? I don't have to drive that far, but I like hugging my wife anyway. The daughter, they didn't tell the daughter, she's married and has kids, that why she was coming. So as they pull into this town, this tour bus pulls in, Althea gets out, and Althea comes running over, crying, and grabs on the lorry, and Lori's running to her, and they're crying, and they're weeping, and they're tears of joy, and they ran to each other, and the daughter was watching to see how come I didn't get off the bus, but I didn't go. But she told us later, she goes, you know, I stood back, and I watched my mom, and I watched Sister Althea run to each other, excited, and embrace each other with joy. She goes, that's got to be what it's like when we get to heaven. Think about somebody right now. And when we get there, we'll go run to see. Loved one, good friends. The promises of God ought to gladden us. No matter how weary and how dark and how devastating around our world gets, we have the promises of God, and they never change, and they're not going to change. The promises of God are for all saints. They are for all seasons, no matter what you're going through. In chapter 1, you would find where God gave Joshua promises because Moses just passed away. That would be hard. That was his leader, his loved one, the one who God used mightily. And he was in grief and sorrow, and he said, it's over. Let me give you a promise. I'm going to take and do with you what I did with him. You just walk with me. So there's promises for every situation, every season that we go through. No wonder the Bible tells us that we should be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Jesus had some seasons and situations that were not what we would consider joyful. Amen. He had to endure the cross. He had to become sin for us. But for the joy that was set before him, the promise that he would rise the third day, he endured it. He endured it. So let Jesus in 2020 guide you with his presence. Let Jesus in 2020 gladden you with his promises. And by the way, I think that you can't enjoy the promises of God if you're not in the presence of God. That's just my personal thinking. And I think those two go hand in hand, and one leads to the other. And then lastly, in 2020, let Jesus guard you with his power. So we have his presence. He's omnipresent. We have his promises. And in those promises, we have his omniscience. He's able to keep all of them. But here we have his omnipotent power to guide us and to guard us. Look, as you would, in chapter 3 again, verse number 7. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And then it says in verse 9, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord. Look what he says here, your God. I want you to understand what Joshua is doing here. He's inviting the people. He says, I want you to come and listen to what your God says. I tell you what, it's not just my God, it's your God. Come and listen to your God. Hear the words of your God. And Joshua said, "Hereby shall ye know that the living God is among you." How we need that today. How I need that in my personal life, how I need that in my family, as we're trusting God to now try to figure out what to do with the sale of a house and come over here and buy one and all those areas there. How we need to know that there's a living God that's working in our midst, amen, who's given us promises, who's guiding us, and now He wants to guard us and protect us. The living God is among you. And that He will without fail drive out from before you. It doesn't matter how many enemies, how many foes we will face in 2020. He will drive every single one of them out from before us. Because He's the living God. He's the Lord your God. And then it says that He's also a liberating God. He goes on to tell us in verse number 11, "Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you unto Jordan. Now, therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap." So here are these men, here are these priests. They've got the ark, they're bearing the ark. They've got the presence of God to guide them. They got the presence of God, the promises of God to gladden them, and they got the presence of God to guard them now. And as those priests come to the water's brink, and the first two step in, the leaders, and they keep walking, and then the other ones step in, they stand still. And remember, that is overflowing the banks. I grew up in California where there's a lot of irrigation canals, and I'm talking about irrigation canals that are bigger and wider than this room here. And the water is flowing like white water coming down from the snow in the mountains in the area there, Yosemite. And people used to cross bridges, and we'd tie ropes onto the bridge, and we'd swing out into that white water and hold on for dear life when we were kids. It was pretty stupid, really. They had a lot of drowning in those canals. But that water would be just white water just breaking onto the bridges. And here was where they were at. They were stepping into that area, and the people were afraid to cross until God intervened. And it says that God began to stop the water, and it began to back up all the way back, and it stood on, it's a heap. The Red Sea, they'd already witnessed that, amen? Same thing. And now it's the Jordan River to get ready to go into the Promised Land, that land of Christian victory. There would be battles there, but there would be going in with the presence, the promises, all these things that belong to God Himself, that He was leading them into. Our Lord is your God. He's a living God, according to our text in verse number 10. And He's a liberating God. He wants to give you and I victory in 2020. We don't have to live in the bondage of sin any longer. I was talking with an individual here not too long ago, a preacher. And the preacher had a struggle with pornography. That's one of our biggest things, I think, taking place today with men. And as I was talking to the preacher, I was talking to him about, I just preached a message on Samson and how Samson ended up having his eyes gouged out and died, and all because he could not get control over a sin in his life. And the individual looked at me in the eyes and says, "But look how much God used him in spite of his sin." That wasn't a really good reply, I didn't think. It's almost as if he was excusing himself that I can continue to sin and God can still use me even though I'm living in sin. God says that you sin not. You and I are to be dead to sin and alive unto God. And my friends, we have to claim the victory. We have to let God guard our hearts and our minds. We have to hide His word in our hearts that we might not sin against God. And all of this is made possible because God promised that He would make us more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I don't know where you're at tonight in your walk with the Lord. Perhaps you need His guidance in a decision, in direction, a situation that has risen up or will rise up. Maybe there's you need His presence. I would spend time with Him, seeking His will and His ways. Maybe tonight you're in a situation where you just need His promises. You need to get into the Word of God. Lord, what would You have for me? Give me a promise. I need something to uplift me and encourage me and lift me up. I like when I have my devotions for myself, I use Faith Cometh By Hearing. I use, the Bible says, I use an animated Bible reading. Y'all ever do that? Anybody here ever do that? Where it has the background noise, and if it's a woman, Mary speaking, it's a woman's voice. And I'm visual. I'll just sit there and I can picture everything that's happening while I'm listening and reading. And our kids used to do that. And, you know, that's the main thing, is getting the Word of God in you. Sometimes you say, I just don't feel like reading tonight. Sometimes just put it on tape and listen to it. Let the Word of God have its way in your life. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And there's no better way to get closer to the Lord, because He's the living Word. This is the written Word. If you want to get close to the living Word, spend time in the written Word. This is where all the promises are. His promises are yea, yea. And He'll do whatever is needed to give you victory. Do you need areas of protection, areas of His power in your life? We have the unseen presence of God's Holy Spirit continually with us. In the ark, we had all those things that Israel had done that were wrong. In us who have done all those things wrong, we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And I emphasize His nature is holy. And God calls us to be a holy, holy people. Don't be yourself. Be a holy person. And may God, by His grace, help us in 2020. You know, we don't know what's on this new year. We've never passed this way before. Some of you went through things last year that you didn't know you were going to go through until it was on your doorstep. Stay ever so close to the Lord Jesus Christ. Enjoy His presence. Enjoy His power. Enjoy His promises. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before Thee this evening. We love You and we thank You for Your goodness. Lord, we thank You for this new year of opportunity. We ask, Father, that in the name of Christ, that You'll show us, dear Father, how we can humbly walk with our God through this next phase of life. We don't know what's on tomorrow. We don't know what a day will bring forth. You remind us that life is very short. It's as a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You have many desires, many plans for us, many areas of blessing and promises to fulfill. May we just come alongside You as John did and just lean on Your breast to where we can hear Your heartbeat and just rest in You in this new year. And may You add Your blessings as You would see fit. In Christ's name, amen.